gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap, we got us a race.
Woohoo!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Wow! Really? Really, Republicans?
Really?
Gingrich? Really?
Frank.
As Barney Frank said, I didn't think I lived a good enough life.
You know, it was totally the tantrum he threw in front of John King.
Yeah. And he's thrown like three more since then.
Yes,
that's his thing now.
That's his bag.
He even chewed on some fox ankles this weekend.
Yeah.
Apparently, frankly, no one's allowed to ask him a question of any kind.
Right.
He's, ask Frank Lee anything.
No. He just, he will not be frank about anything. Wow, Newt Gingrich wins Carolina. Not just wins. Poor Mittens took a drubbing.
Yeah. But now that Mittens got his butt kicked, frankly, all is forgiven about the tax thing. I know, it's awful bigamy.
What's that about?
Bigamy, get
week?
It?
It's
bigamy!
That's, Jim Ward on the ball this morning.
Mormon marriage humor.
No, well, Monday sluggishness here.
It's Marx Brothers humor from the 1930s.
Okay.
Wow, we, all right, so, yeah, we, and we got us a week. You know me, I'm in a political geek frenzy.
Lord.
Republican debate tonight.
Is it? I didn't hear about this one.
Yes, Mittens tax release tomorrow, State of the Union
tomorrow.
Oh. Oh.
Wait, what channel is the debate on tonight, do you know?
The debate channel.
NBC.
Is it?
Brian
okay.
Williams, yeah.
Thank you.
Brian Williams.
Of NBC. Oh.
What about Tim Brokaw, formerly when his denial ideas?
How much
said they got
could
a guy
we even
has,
hope for that much entertainment that Tom Brokaw has added to the debate
but
panel?
But instead they found a guy who's capable of pronouncing the letter L, which is fortunate since his last name is Will.
Frankly, I think you're Marital and Fidel, and he's R-L.
R-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L Oliver on Paul. That's it.
Fortunately,
and
Paul.
What are the chances that a monitor is going to say his name?
Yeah.
Because no one asks him a question ever, unless the audience boos.
Ron who?
What? All right.
The guy hiding in the big suit?
Oh. Here's the best thing about the weekend is incredibly high-strung, sexy liberal tour director, Roland.
Yes.
Went insane.
Because
the minute Newt Gingrich, well, it's hard to tell. There's a baseline that's sort of like poodle on linoleum.
And then poodle on the ceiling.
And then cat on the ceiling. Yeah. It goes from poodle on linoleum to
cat on the ceiling.
No, it's more like poodle skittering around the front seat. I'm like, all right. Anyway, because literally the minute Newt Gingrich won South Carolina, our ticket sales went insane. Because I think everyone thought, oh, this is going to be over. There's not going to be any more comedy to be had about this whole race.
Oh, Lord.
Well, hold on now. Yes, indeedy do. Coming up next.
Philadelphia, yeah. We progressives hold these truths to be self-evident. That all sexy liberals are created equal, and that we are endowed by the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, laughter, and the pursuit of silliness. On February 4th, 2012, the comedy tour that is taking the country by storm will perform live at the Merriam Theater, featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the tastiest of all tasty cakes, Stephanie Miller.
Yummy!
Tickets are available online at KimmelCenter.org or by calling 215-893-1999.
999.
Philadelphia, come show your favorite progressives some of your brotherly love. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on February 4th at the Merriam Theater. Philly, these liberals will be sure to ring your Liberty Bell.
Thank you, Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. No, this is going to go on until it faces up to its responsibilities, this Republican primary. These Republicans will not be ignored.
And they're already sniping about the State of the Union before they've even heard
I'm not going to be ignored.
Yeah, Boehner already said it's going to be pathetic.
Yeah.
What?
Well, and do you see Chris Wallace called Boehner pretty much pathetic this weekend?
It's pathetic to say the speech that you haven't heard yet and hasn't even finished being written is pathetic.
Yeah.
What?
He said to Boehner straight out, this has been the most do-nothing Congress in American history. That's coming from Fox News Sunday.
You know, incredible. In the event that we should be so lucky that they will actually choose Newt Gingrich. I don't think that strategy is going to last of just turning on the moderators of every... Did you see him? He turned on David Gregory. Yeah. Ah, you know better than that, frankly. David, you know better than that. It's like apparently...
Oh,
every report. And then he literally accused Fox News of not being fair and balanced.
Yeah.
What? That's my job. Yeah. That could have been me on Fox News. That's how I got thrown off the last time.
Wow. Roger Ailes might turn against Gingrich. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and then here we go to Florida. My golly.
Welcome back, my friends, to the state that wears depends, where the campaign never ends. Come inside, come inside. Come and join the dance. Looks like Mitt Romney's last chance. If Newt keeps on his pants, he can slide, he can slide.
Yay! Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
That's my favorite band, Help.
Patrice in Oakland. Hey, Patrice.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know what? I couldn't be more excited about this crap of candidates that they've yanked out of their rectums. This
wow.
is going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, either one of them, whether it's Romney or Gingrich, they are both weak candidates. But I still say that even though they're extremely weak, it's really going to be the weakest candidate is going to be Mitt Romney, because his Achilles heels, not heel, but heels,
yeah.
are much more relevant to the national topic, which is
right.
the economy, income inequality, the home foreclosures, which he basically told people that they should just
yeah,
walk
hurry
away
up.
From their homes
right.
and let the system work its, you know, work its magic, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I'm juiced about this election, and I still think Obama is going to win. I think he may win by an even larger margin than he did with McCain.
Yeah. Well, you know what was highly entertaining yesterday, Patrice, is the white knuckle panic of
right.
nice Republicans. One guy on where was it? Meet the Press said this is a disaster. Gingrich loses 45 states if he is the nominee.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable, right? By the way, Tag is doing his best to help.
Tag?
This might have been the most pathetic tweet of the weekend. Tag
oh.
Romney.
Oh, jeez. Him.
Not as in Tag, you're it. As in Tag Romney.
And his brother, Flurn.
Flurn.
They just threw random letters on the Scrabble board and up with their names.
Flurn.
That's even before Words with Friends were
exactly.
invented. That's not a word.
Gorfin Hoggle.
How about we name one of them Huffar? Dr. Flurriar.
Huffar.
Yeah, Jilly sends this totally unrehearsed, spontaneous shot of the Romneys doing their own laundry from their boy Tag.
Oh, God.
He sends
oh.
a picture and it says, nothing like the glamorous life on the road. Oh, are you
kidding
me,
the
Tag?
The real picture is him throwing money at a maid.
Do you really think that anyone really thinks Mitt and Ann are doing their own laundry on
yeah.
the road? It literally is pictures
oh,
of them, my. Like, putting in the laundromat with...
He's
yes.
holding the bottle of Tide like he's never held a bottle of Tide before.
Like the first time a caveman saw
yes.
fire.
He tries to pour it without unscrewing the top.
What is
that? Unscrew the
fire
top?
Burn. Ah.
I mean, George Bush Sr. gave the supermarket scanner a
yeah.
better look than he was looking at that laundry jug.
Wow. I iron my own shorts, my friend.
Well, and he,
I iron the crease of my own mom jeans.
Yeah, he was standing in front of the washing machine in a pressed button-down
oh,
shirt
God.
And pressed jeans
yes.
that did not come
oh.
out of any laundry machine.
I mean, only Romney can have, like, a picture just be inauthentic. He doesn't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, are you... Who are you?
It's all Photoshop.
Seriously? I mean, it's the pictures that they don't want to get out. They get out by accident. Remember the one of him getting his shoes shined
yeah.
outside his private jet?
Actually,
there's literally a shoeshine guy. He's sitting on a...
Actually, apparently he was being wanded.
Yeah,
his shoes
that's
being
what
wanded.
I heard, that he was being wanded.
Which is almost as absurd as getting his shoes shined.
You yeah. mean security wanded?
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh. It wasn't a shoe shine, it was a security wanded.
Pretending to be Mitt Romney.
So we had...
Oh, I'm a terrorist, my friend. Look out.
You have to be wanted to get on your private jet?
I may say something indelicate.
So they bring a chair right on the tarmac, so there's no waiting or anything.
Yeah.
You just, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, and then this is my second favorite, also from Julie in Seattle. Compare and contrast time. Mama, how many times have we heard someone at a Barack Obama rally or speech yell out, we love you? And always he says it right back like a good boyfriend, I love you too.
Right.
And everybody cheers because it seems like, well, he really means it. Here's how it goes with Mitt Romney. So the political reporter for the Boston Globe tweeted this weekend. Voter yells to Romney, we love you. Romney demurs, I would like Ann to say that. Oh, God.
Oh,
Mittens.
God.
Mittens.
What? Mittens. Why can't he just yell back?
Exactly. He doesn't even know how to have a spontaneous moment with a crowd that yells, I love you.
I don't think I can say that.
Heavens, I like Anne to say that.
My stars.
Awkward.
It's the easiest thing in the world to repeat someone yells back.
Jeepers, hello?
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure that's the right thing to do.
I am the most awkward human in the world. Hello.
I don't always drink beer. In fact, I never drink beer. But I am the most awkward man in the world.
William in Illinois. Hey, William.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to say that Gingrich ought to send money to CNN because they made him acceptable.
Yeah.
It bothers me that these journalists continue to set up Newt for what he's done from the very first debate. They keep setting him up to knock it out the park. He becomes acceptable, and now what should have been damaging to him becomes a plus for him. I just don't understand why people, first of all, the question shouldn't have been asked first. It should have been asked at all.
Well, William, even Juan Williams, you're like, oh, Juan, really? In an audience full of Tea Party crackers, you're going to ask him that he's only going to double down on? Yeah.
I mean, you're right. They're not doing their homework. I mean, what happened to journalism? They should know that he's going to use whatever softball they lock him to knock it out the park. And really, he should send money to John King.
But you know what, William? There was a story today. I mean, I think the act is already wearing thin because when he did it on Fox this weekend, it was like he was planning it, and it just was like, you know, it's like when you jump a joke too soon or something. It's like they didn't even warrant it. He was on Fox News, and it was like he just had a plan to go in and, you know, beat up on journalists and the media again, and it just was like, what? You're on Fox, for God's sake.
Now Fox is turning against him. It's hard to do.
Yeah. 18 minutes after the hour. Wow. Off to a rollicking Monday start. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Spring-related event?
Yeah, I've been putting out a lot of fires this morning, so I apologize.
It's a rain-related event.
Yes.
It's raining in L.A. We're not used to it.
We got a full show. Rude Pundit, Eric Ballard, and David Bender all on the big show today as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, frankly, on Saturday night.
The biggest thing I take from the campaign in South Carolina,
frankly,
is that it is very humbling and very sobering.
Humbling.
To have so many people who so deeply want their country to get back on the right track.
That's weird. That's not what I take from it. I think, wow, there's a lot more really racist crackers in South Carolina than even I had previously thought.
Yeah.
And a lot of freaks who don't mind adultery.
No, they like adultery.
In the 70s, South Carolina was like the hot spot for that kind of thing.
Yes.
Really now?
That was the key party of the East Coast.
Oh. Yeah, they find what's disgusting and amoral.
Yes,
it's John King asking a question about it.
It was total ice storm.
It's all
in
South Carolina. All the right-wingers are freaks.
Freaks. Well, if that weren't enough, it's all over. Now, Chuck Norris has endorsed Newt Gingrich. So, what's that? Remember how well that worked for Mike Huckabee? Vote for Mike Huckabee or I'll kick you in the throat.
Apparently he wasn't wearing his action jeans.
No.
No. Someone sent me the ad for Action Jeans.
Yeah,
right
I've seen it. Oh, it's awful.
Apparently they allow a man that age to get your leg that high.
It's the male version of pajama jeans.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was what it was. This was one day before the South Carolina primary. Chuck Norris endorsed Newt Gingrich for president, saying he believes that Gingrich can both return America to her glory days and outwit President Obama.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Outwit?
What's he, Wile E. Coyote? All right.
I'm trying to walk on air, frankly. Yeah. Oops.
Strapping on his rocket skates.
Frankly, I can't actually go through a fake hole inside of a mountain.
I don't want to actually debate him. I'm just I'm a lot of hot air. I'm going to put a movable hole on the side of the debate hall. Hope that
he's got the whole Acme catalog at his disposal.
No, that didn't work.
No. Exploding birdseed?
No.
No.
Secret Service caught that one. He's just, well, how many ways can you count how odious Newt Gingrich is in so many levels? He knows what's working, though. He doubled down on the... Did you hear what he said about Juan Williams? He says work is a strange, distant concept to Juan Williams.
Oh! Yeah.
Ironically, was working when he asked him the question.
He's black, frankly, is my point.
So he doesn't work.
Here, boy.
That was a total dog whistle. I mean, I got deaf from all the dog whistles this weekend.
Yeah. Newt Gingrich launched a now infamous tirade against moderator Juan Williams during Monday night's GOP debate after Williams dared to ask him if he could understand why some African Americans were offended by Gingrich's obsession with food stamps and child labor.
I understand that you're lazy and shiftless, frankly, and you're on food stamps.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
At a campaign stop in South Carolina, Gingrich recalled his exchange with Williams and used the same kind of suggested language that Williams had objected to, this time directed at Williams himself.
Yeah.
I had a very interesting dialogue Monday night in Myrtle Beach with Juan Williams about the idea of work, which seemed to Juan Williams to be a strange, distant concept.
Wow,
you're right.
He's a bigger a-hole than I thought.
Death from the dog whistle.
Yeah.
strange, distant concept, like to most black people.
But he's pissing off Fox News. Don't work. I'm not sure that's a good idea.
And, yeah.
Well, he coupled that with the way he pronounced Juan.
Juan?
Yeah.
That's a foreign name, frankly.
Did you hear him say Juan during the... Oh,
why don't you mow my lawn, Juan?
That's what he's saying.
Oh, boy. This is getting more and more entertaining.
Wow.
They're starting to lose it. Julie sends me this one. WTF. Is Romney totally losing it? There's a picture of him on Friday. He looks like he's starting to lose it. He's a little... Mama, if you missed Rachel Maddow Friday night, she had audio of Mitt Romney in an interview with Laura Ingraham on Friday expressly stating the economy is getting better and admitting he's arguing a weak case to get the White House since Obama has improved things with what he did. It is getting better. It always gets better. We're in a recovery. Laura gave him a chance to wiggle free. Do you think that's really a good case to run on? Mitt just dug deeper, sounded a bit like a crazy person. Have you got a better idea, he asked her, with that head thrown back, ha-ha laugh of his.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Laura pressed, are you really saying that things were terrible? Obama came in and did certain things. The economy got better, is getting better?
Yes.
And yes, he says, it's the truth.
Thank you, Mitt.
Oh, man.
Julie says, between this and the look of his hair going all cattywampus on Friday, I'm beginning to wonder if Mitt's hitting the near beer or something.
The ginger ale.
I had an entire sip of near beer.
I have carbonation.
I better sit down.
Things are getting so stressful. I
know. Well, I think he knows Newt is going to be the nominee, and he's trying to undercut him. He's going to vote for Obama just to get Newt.
He's going to flip-flop again.
Yeah.
He'll probably campaign for Obama. Wow. And so, yeah, tomorrow is the big, he will release his tax returns, but for 2010, as well as an estimate of 2011, this, if you're counting, is the third stance Romney has taken on his tax returns.
Oh, boy. I'm going to estimate zero.
Oh, boy. So we'll see what happens. Somebody was saying it's personal, not the corporate stuff, so I don't know if we're going to get the real deal with this tomorrow. But 29 minutes after the hour, The Root Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Chins up, boobs out, it's showtime.
I bet even Newt danced to this song in the 80s.
Yeah.
34 minutes after the hour.
The angry attack muffin.
1-800-STEP-12.
Living up to that characterization.
Yikes, I'll say.
The greatest thing Peggy Noonan ever came up with.
Yes, yeah. That is the best thing she's ever
Thank
written.
Thank you. Thank
ever.
You, Peggy Noonan.
Awesome.
Hey, speaking of great writing, if you love rudepundit.blogspot.com,
yep.
As I do, you would have already been on orbooks.com to pre-order the 2012 edition of the Rude Pundit's Almanac.
Yep.
And if you haven't...
What's wrong with you?
You're a douche nozzle.
Yeah.
All right.
It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. Come to Mama.
Good morning. Thank you for sticking it to the douche nozzles.
Thank you. Thank you. The non-Rude Pundit's Almanac owning douche nozzles.
What can we find in the Rude Pundit's Almanac?
Well, in the Rude Pundit's Almanac, you'll see that I actually accurately predicted almost all of the remaining candidates for the Republican nomination.
Wow.
Yeah. And and then I've got a 2012 edition that if we get 500 pre-sales, though our books will publish, where I've got things like the tale of the Herman Cain campaign told in a series of dirty limericks.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome. Andrew Dice Clay meets Herman Cain. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, rudeness, yeah, like, for instance, one of your posts this week, you said, when Rick Perry first announced he was running for president, do you remember how people were saying on the left and the right that the nomination race, if not the whole election, was over? And then you say, honestly, who would have thought that Bush would turn out to be the articulate governor from Texas? The phrase epic fail gets tossed around and used too much. But that's exactly right. It's punditry like that that makes your head explode. That, oh, it's all over. He's a fearsome goon. Obama's not going to blah, 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 blah. Right?
Right. There's no way that because everybody must seem to want a Texan who can, I don't know, take them from behind or something.
Mm,
that,
sure.
That's who's going to be nominated.
That was the cleanest way you have ever expressed that. And I nicely done, sir, on the little family radio show. Thank you.
Go FTC.
So there's some, by way of, can I have my high school historical film strip? Only you could offer the details, moments in the life of Newt Gingrich from the 1990s, just in case we had forgotten all the glory. On September 8th, 1995, Rood writes, then Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich told a crowd of 4,000 believers at the Christian Coalition's Road to Victory Conference that he got married when I was very young, and we have two wonderful, this was during the second marriage. And we have two wonderful daughters by that marriage, and I got divorced. Later on, I got remarried, and we have a marriage which has a fair amount of stress, and it's difficult, as it might be if one were married to Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
And I think that's fairly typical of a lot of families. It takes a lot of work, a lot of prayer.
And a lot of other women, apparently.
Mm-hmm. The stress he was talking about was that for 2 years he had been putting his into the and possibly the and of Callista.
Oh, my God.
A woman who was 23 years younger than him and 14 years younger than then-wife, Marianne. So he was speaking about Marianne while he was Callista.
Yeah.
At
the Christian Coalition event. He's standing up there in front of 4,000 Christians saying, yeah, we got this marriage. We got some stress.
Yeah,
and the
stress.
People in that audience are thinking, oh, of course, you know, they've got bills to pay.
Sure. Like, for instance, the stress that she has over me.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Not, oh, you mean you've got multiple sclerosis and I want an open marriage.
Yeah. And as you said, probably at a lot of these events, there's Callista because she's his intern or whatever she is. She's an aide of his.
Yeah.
And there's the wife. And they're, I mean, it's really.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You said
oh,
I.
Oh, yeah. That was the great thing when after the Republicans took over in 94, when he was he actually brought out Marianne, who didn't appear at a lot of events.
Yeah.
He sort of kept her hidden, even though he will credit her for his meteoric rise. And so in the audience had to be, as he's there talking about, you know, I want to thank Marianne for everything. And this is 94. He's already a year into his affair with Callista.
Yeah, yeah. And you say he told his daughters that we know precisely because it's been hard why you should emphasize family values, because even when you're emphasizing them, it's hard. See, this was him emphasizing family values. So that was,
well, it's hard.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Clearly it was hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In talking,
a man who always finds it hard when he's talking about family values.
Sure. In talking about marriage, Gingrich told the gathered Christians, I start with the premise that all of us are sinful.
Some more than others.
Yeah. And that's why we need to seek salvation through faith, because we're never going to earn it, because we're inadequate. See, when it comes to marriage, the rude pundit starts with the premise that if you're a man and you get married, you shouldn't be shoving your into the orifices of others, especially if you asked your wife for an open marriage so you could do so without a scintilla of conscience and she said no. But rude pundit's just old-fashioned that way.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of believe a commitment means a commitment. But, and you know, be a grown-up. If you go and ask for an open marriage, you know, do it before you start screwing around.
You know, and you have an interesting historical perspective on what we were just talking about, on the angry little attack muffin attacking everything, including Fox News. But you say, back in the 90s, Gingrich used to rail against the liberal elite media, who he believed sought to downplay President Clinton's transgressions. So when Gingrich went all angry chimp on CNN's John King, it wasn't only unexpected, it's what he does. He's always the victim.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this goes back even further.
Yeah, I mean, he said, I'm tired of the elite media protecting Barack Obama by attacking Republicans. And in 1996, he said, there is no president in modern times more systematically protected by the elite media.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that it's the same story now for 20 years.
You know, and it's hard to pick, but if I had to say one of my favorite Ru Pundit sentences ever would be this one. It's the Newt Gingrich voters are divided into two groups, the who gives a group and the Jesus forgave him so I can group. The latter group's members are so desperate for a candidate that as long as he said he believes he's made peace with God, they wouldn't care if Newt had strangled his second wife with his first wife's intestines.
Oh, that is poetry, Rude.
Well, thank you, thank you.
And being that it's Newt, I'm going, he might have done that. How would we know? There may have been a wife we don't even know anything about.
I don't look in that freezer, frankly.
Yes, yes. The secret fourth wife of Newt Gingrich, that's what we need. It's so absurd. You know, I love that he's running as an outsider,
yeah.
Even though he's actually physically lived in the D.C. area since the 1970s.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Yet somehow he's a Washington outsider.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, he's like this pimple that won't go away, you know?
You it's an ass pimple.
On it and try to pop it, and it just gets bigger.
And then the thing we've been talking about, obviously, is you write, the moment Newt Gingrich decided to double down on the racism on Martin Luther King Day when questioned by Juan Williams about his remarks on black youths
wow.
and food stamps. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And the Myrtle Beach Convention Center exploded. And you write, of course they did. There was a group of crackers having been forced to go through an entire day hearing about how a great black man fought for the rights of black people so that now not only do you have to share water fountains with him, but you can't even call him boy at work without getting someone getting all upset. And besides, what are you going to do with all those unburned crosses? And once the cork was off, the crowd turned viciously on Williams.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. Of all the spectacles we've seen in Republican debates, that really was gross, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, and it's this, and again, this is something that Newt's been doing for years. And the thing about, and I've said this before, the thing about Gingrich is he will say these things in such with such calmness that he comes across sounding smart. I forget who said it. He's a dumb person. What a dumb person thinks a smart person is.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's so he can say this. I would like, between John King and Juan Williams, I would actually like a journalist to actually stand up for journalism and say, you know, man, I'm sorry. You went after Clinton during the impeachment period and for his transgressions. Tell me why I shouldn't be able to bring up yours.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. You also write, the real fun is developing now is watching the visceral hate for Romney is among the movement conservatives. For Perry and Gingrich, this is personal. Romney made Perry his bitch in the debates. And now it's payback time, I assume, right?
Yeah, that's it. They all despise Romney. And I don't think it's gotten talked about a little bit, but I don't think it's been talked about enough how much the anti-Mormon vote, I think, counted in South Carolina. Because among people that self-identified as saying that a candidate's faith mattered, it was a huge amount went for Gingrich, and
yeah.
It was like 9% went for Romney.
Well, that's exactly what's we've been talking about. It's hard to tell what was happening. You're going, is this a pro-adultery vote? Is it a pro-racism vote?
Yeah.
Is it an anti-Bain vote?
I think it was an anti-liberal media vote.
Yeah,
it was simultaneously anti-Mormon and pro-polyamory, which is...
I know. Yeah.
That's not a cognitive dissonance.
Yes. Yes. That's hard to pull off.
Wow.
I love the contortions that takes are pretty amazing because...
Yeah. Polygamy is fine as long as you don't put the Mormon label on it.
Yeah.
As long as you're not doing it.
Or the Mormon label.
Well, as long as it's done in secret and as adultery, as long as your polyamory is betraying somebody, it's good.
Yeah. It really is like a political Book of Mormon. It was so entertaining this weekend.
It really is, and you know, then when he's up there giving his victory speech on Saturday night, I mean, he looked like the gopher in Caddyshack, just dancing up there after the golf course blew up.
When he does that creepy smile he does, he looks like a parade float in the Macy's parade. He's just, oh, yikes, there's some... Go ahead.
And he just lies with such confidence. It's incredible.
I know.
And you know, his whole thing about Freddie Mac and what he did for Freddie Mac, that fine line.
I'm a historian, frankly.
Yeah, you know better than that, David. You know better than that. I was not a lobbyist of any kind.
Yeah, well, you know the reason why he wasn't a lobbyist is because when they left, there was a rule that said you can't become a lobbyist right after. So they had to come up with this title that was consultant.
Wow. Historian.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so that they could pay him millions of dollars to be there.
I was the gynecologist, frankly.
I hate to use this adjective for him, but that was kind of Clintonian.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, and then he threads the needles when he keeps saying this thing he said to David Gregory yesterday, that the only report ever written about it, the New York Times, I said, do not give them money about Freddie Mac. No, that's not what he said.
Wow.
What he did was he advised the House Republicans to vote against a bill, to vote against the bank bailout bill, because it was going to pass anyway, and so politically they would look better if they voted against it. And then the Democrats in the House would vote for it, and the Senate Republicans were on board, so there was no risk. So
yeah.
What he was doing was making a political calculation, not taking a brave stand against Freddie Mac.
Right. Right. And the other side note you write is, it looks like wee little Ricky Santorum won Iowa. And the real story is that 8 precincts lost their votes. If that had happened during a Democratic caucus, Fox News would already be screeching about voter fraud and produced scary black people who did it. I mean, it really is incredible. And then, that's the other big story of the week. And, okay, he did win. Like, what?
Yeah. And, I mean, it just means that nobody likes Mitt Romney except, I guess, the people of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And Tag.
Tag loves him. Wasn't that sad, though, also at the debate, the last debate, was that Rick Santorum, I mean, for me, Rick Santorum came across as the only likable guy on stage.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, this is just creeping me out now, that he's the only one there that I would want to actually have a conversation with.
Right. And although still a big racist homophobe, but seems nicer about it.
He seems like a racist homophobe who wouldn't yell at you the moment you opened your mouth.
Right.
And, those are the kinds of racist homophobes you want around you.
At least he had the decency to attempt a ridiculous lie, like that he meant bleh, people.
Yeah. But he did, his attacks on Romney and Gingrich were great. And I think it's actually the reason why he blew away the myth of Ron Paul.
Right.
That Ron Paul's done. Can he drop out now?
Ron who?
Stop having. I mean, again, I love it when Crazy Grandpa goes off on the war, but can we just have Crazy Grandpa off the stage now?
Yeah.
Well, Rude, before you go, I mean, you said obviously it's Romney. It was always going to be Romney, but we literally have 3 different winners to 3 contests so far. What is it? Wide open? What's your?
This is the first time I've had that faith actually shaken. It didn't get shaken with Rick Perry, but it's gotten shaken now. All I'll say is I'm really glad we have Newt Gingrich to kick around for a while.
Yeah, me too. It just got fun again.
We really need somebody to auto-tune his rants.
Someone's working on it now, I'm sure.
You say it here, it comes out there. Rude Pundit, we love you. It is orbooks.com. Get the Rude Pundit's almanac. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
Bye.
And we put a link up on your Facebook page to where to get
that. Of course we did.
Well, when I say
we. When you say we, you mean me. I do all of it. 48
of
minutes.
Of course you do.
Sure. Uh-huh.
How do you get to your Facebook page?
My what?
You drive me there.
You call me over to your side of the table, and I type in the address.
Driving
for
Miss Duffy.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. 48 minutes while I bitch at you from the back of the car.
You don't look a bit like Morgan Freeman.
48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You need to put a pencil in your tongue or something?
No,
you okay?
Stop it.
53 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC. Free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter that promo code. Stephanie, we love us some GoToMyPC.
Yes, we do. We use it every single day.
How many times have I to say to you, I have to wait till I get home to my paper calendar and the things up there only exist in my desktop? Not anymore.
Well, if you digitize your calendar, you could access it on your GoToMyPC.
All right. Grandma needs to see it in paper.
Okay.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I keep switching my mind between Newt and Mitt. Okay, I'm a conservative, and Newt has my values more as far as the policies I'd like to see implemented. Newt, I thought, Mitt, I thought had a better chance of beating Barack Obama because he was more moderate. So I was willing to give that up a little bit because it doesn't matter how close he is to my values if he's not going to win.
So you're using Newt Gingrich and values in the same sentence.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the big issue I had in the beginning was that I was worried that that would make him unelectable because that baggage would come up. But the way I heard him in this last week's debate and the way I hear all of these progressive people on the radio talking, I realize that even though you guys pretend that it's a big issue, you guys really don't think that's a big issue because you celebrate the last guy that committed adultery in the Oval Office itself. So that's
we did not celebrate it.
No, we didn't celebrate
we made
the
fun of it.
Adultery.
Yeah, we made total fun of it.
We celebrated his accomplishments as president.
I don't think you heard us in the 90s.
That's the important thing. They're willing to overlook the adultery if he follows the policies that you think are going to be effective. So I think that's what's going to happen with Newt.
But after his
performance in the debates, he's going to be able to convince people in debates that what he wants to do is more important.
Yeah, but Dave, that's kind of a level of personal dirtbaggery that's a little unusual, isn't it? To have left two wives that got sick while cheating on both of them. I mean.
Like I said, I had a personal issue with that, but I realized that that's not the most important thing. And I agree with what he said. I mean, I understand that needed to come up in the presidential debate, but was that really the most important issue that should have been hit on first?
It was the thing that was at the top of most people's minds.
They would have asked anybody. Yeah. It was a Democratic debate, and it was a Democratic candidate. Are you trying to say they never covered Bill Clinton's?
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Indiscretions?
It'll come up. It'll be addressed. But I think there are far more important issues facing this country right now, and that's what I'm concerned with.
Yeah. Right, but Dave, there is no liberal elite or whatever he's talking about. If you remember Bill Clinton running for president, the first thing they asked him was about Jennifer Flowers. Yeah. I mean, it's not like this is the media wants a story. They don't care. They're not partisan either way, in my opinion.
Dig down deep into it. Do you really think that is the most important thing in equality for the president of the United States? You care that he does a good job and promotes the agenda you want promoted, right?
I think the complete lack of character that Newt Gingrich has is unusual. Yeah,
character does count.
Okay, and that's why I was leaning more towards Mitt, because in the beginning I thought Mitt would be the most electable. I don't have a problem, even with the flip-flop issue. I mean, when we did it against Kerry, I didn't think that was that important, because people over time change their minds on issues. I know I've changed my mind on issues over the years.
But Dave, once again, Mitt Romney has an unbelievable level of flip-flopping, even for a politician. I mean, wouldn't you say? Can you cite someone else that has changed their mind 180 degrees on every single issue?
To be successful in Massachusetts, don't you think that your views are a little different if you're representing the people of Massachusetts? They expect you to represent their values. That's why they're voting for you.
But that means that he doesn't have core convictions.
He flip-flopped three times on his stance on his own taxes in the last week.
That means he doesn't have core convictions, that he will do and say whatever he needs to in order to get elected. Well, I don't want that kind of person as president.
The thing is, he's not that skillful a politician.
I'm glad he's going to release his tax returns. But I have a question about this. If he's not required to release his tax returns, okay, I mean, all these same people are calling for him to release his tax returns are the same people that opposed forcing Barack Obama to release his birth certificate, which he wasn't required.
Republican. Republicans
there.
In the audience Arthur. Were demanding.
Yeah, what? Your tax records are real. The phantom birth certificate was a fantasy.
Well, the birth certificate he released was real
as
well.
Exactly. I mean, the one, the real one, the holy grail that they're searching for.
Yes. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollert next and Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yee-hoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. SexyLiberal.com. Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. I hear the Sexy Liberal comedy album, Volume 1, flying off the shelves. Because that's all. There's going to have to be a Volume 2. Because
shelves?
All right. It's a download. Amazon.com or iTunes. It's there's going to have to be a Volume 2. And that's all about the Bachmans, Herman Cain, and Rick Perry. So 5 minutes ago. Yeah. My God. You better get that as a keepsake. Hurry. All right, and also, let me take a moment to say, go Patriots! Woo-hoo! You know what? You're going to want to come to Boston to celebrate that.
Progressive Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's Historic Theater District. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Wicked hot.
Awesome!
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I guess God likes Tom Brady more than Tim Tebow.
Yeah, and apparently.
And why are we rooting for the Patriots?
Because I'm trying to sell tickets to Boston.
Ah, wow.
No, go Giants, too. Go Giants. I'm excited about that. I don't watch all year until the very end, and then I'm a big...
I forgot it was Super Bowl Sunday. I had no idea.
It was the playoffs.
Playoffs. Okay. 2 weeks from now.
I was going to say. I thought it was awfully early.
Yes, you were right.
I was rooting for the 49ers. I don't care.
Well, I'm from San Francisco. I'm required to.
I don't care
for
49ers. Who wins anymore.
I only watch soccer anyway. So.
All right. At any rate, oh, by the way, and then tickets started going crazy for Chicago, because that's going to be the Super Saturday show right before Super Tuesday.
Yes.
And I think people thought this was all over. But now, it's going to be really super.
No. I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better. I'm a fan.
All right. Yeah, so hurry. Get March 3rd tickets for the Chicago show. And speaking of things that are super, oh, God, I love
Eric Mondays. Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler. Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. Yeah. I don't know what that means. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Good morning.
Your tweets I love because they're exactly what I'm thinking. You write, these GOP primary nights should not be this much fun for libs, but they are.
Yeah.
But if you're on Twitter, it's like just one big cocktail party. Everyone's laughing and bumping into each other and making fun of Republicans.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be sort of their big night to showcase their stars, and everyone's just sort of pointing and laughing at, like, those are your stars. In
yes. You're like, oh, look who got out of the
clown. To them now.
Yeah, look who got out of the clown car now. Oh, really? And then you write, good God, Huckabee wants Obama to release his college application to see if he got loan as a foreign student.
Oh, God.
Right.
That's
Huckabee,
pathetic.
He sort of started the whole birther nonsense almost a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Media Matters documented how he was going on the radio talking about his Kenyan past and all that. And he sort of snuck this in, I think, on Fox over the weekend, that maybe Obama got he was a foreign student when he went to Columbia University. So old habits die hard.
Yeah.
And they see no connection between old habits and the current clown car situation, which is right.
Yes.
There's no connection in their mind.
And what they hath wrought. What, Eric, what is your quick take? I mean, this is getting good now, isn't it? What is your take on the Republican primary?
Well, the press is thrilled because it looked like just even 2 or 3 weeks ago, Romney was going to, win Iowa, which people thought he did, win New Hampshire. He was going to win everything. We were never going to see, you know, we'd never seen a party that wasn't an incumbent have a nominee basically win every single one. Gore did it, but, you know, he had been a vice president.
Right.
So this was just going to be a clean sweep, and the press was going to have nothing to write about until October. And now all of that has changed.
Yeah.
and Romney is just sort of falling apart. I think the press was really late, even back in November when Romney's numbers, I think, were cratering and falling apart. The press was really late to catch on that Romney does not connect with people, I thought.
Yeah, this is what happens, right? They write the storyline already that, oh, it's Mitt, and now everybody's like, what? I mean, is it wrong to be this happy about it?
No, and what's really fascinating, I think, is this wing party, the Newt Gingrich wing, and if you listen to Rush Limbaugh and you're enough to read Brent Bozell and everything, I mean, they are much more interested in attacking the press than winning any kind of election.
Yeah.
Right. They see this whole campaign as really just as a grievance to, you know, yell at John King and yell at ABC News.
And Fox News, apparently.
You know, there's like 8% of Americans who even care about that.
Right.
But for them, that is the centerpiece, and it just sort of marched right off the cliff with this agenda.
Right. Well, we were saying, I think, you know, Newt Gingrich has already jumped the shark with that because he went after Fox and Friends this weekend for asking questions. I mean...
Well, it's interesting. He might be going after more and more conservative press. You know, now they're just like, they're kind of freaking out. There's no instinct to rush to Romney's aid, but they also realize that, you know, his unfavorables are through the roof. So at some point, a lot of the right-wing media is absolutely going to open fire on Gingrich because they see a Goldwater situation unfolding. And I think we are going to see pretty soon Gingrich versus the right wing, which is going to be so fantastic.
Ouch, wow. That hit a little close to home, Eric, but it's all right.
maybe they've given up and they just think, okay, he's going to get another turn.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Sean Hannity on the GOP debate.
I'm going to make a prediction that what happened last night with CNN and John King, all these liberal media types out there, people have gotten wise to their bias, I think, as evidenced by the reaction in that crowd last night.
In South Carolina,
and I bet you all these liberals are going to be scared to death if they're before a crowd and they're going after conservatives. They won't do this to Barack Obama or the Democrats. What I predict is going to happen. There's going to be a little fear in the back of their minds. They don't want to be John Kinged.
John Kinged?
Yeah, the problem is, you know, Republicans in South Carolina are not representative of the country as a whole, right?
Exactly. But, you know, the point is, I think his point was, the press is going to be scared, and the press is going to back down, and the press doesn't want, like John King, and Media Matters had a good post over the weekend, if you watch Gingrich on Meet the Press. And David Gregory asked him a very specific question about being a lobbyist, and Gingrich just completely misled and obfuscated. And David Gregory just went on to the next question. And the point of the Media Matters was, hey, bullying works. It worked for 40 years since Spiro Agnew started it. So there is a concern. You know, everyone's celebrating, you know, how Gingrich beat up on John King and it won him the primary. Being the John King is not fun. I mean, I think he handled it pretty well last week, but people in general not want to be the focus of right-wing hate. If, you know, it's hard enough covering a campaign, you don't want all that other stuff. So there is concern that it might actually work.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, because you keep thinking, oh, my God, how is Gingrich going to get around all this baggage? And you go, oh, he's just going to attack anybody that asks him about it.
Oh, in South Carolina, that'll work. In lots of Republican primary states, that'll work. It's, you know, the Wall Street Journal editorial page today said there's no way that's going to work in a general election, particularly if there are specific, genuine queries from the press.
Right.
You can't answer them by bashing the press and anyone's going to vote for you as president.
Well, as I said to Chris and Jim this morning, I'm like, would America really vote for anyone that deeply unpleasant? I don't think so. All right, Peter Johnson on Fox and Friends.
There is an unholy alliance between the mainstream media, between organizations like the ABC and CNN and MSNBC, and certain factions in the government. When this question was asked at the beginning of this debate, putting private conduct that was already well known as front and center in an important debate, the people in that audience, and I think the people across the country, stood up literally and said, wait a second, what's this about? Who are you trying to destroy?
Yes, because
the rest of the country is not South Carolina.
Yeah, because, Eric, as you know, the media was never so rude as to ask Bill Clinton the question about any of that.
I was just going to say, this is the same Fox News that was never concerned about, you know, politician sex life being front and center during the Clinton administration, the concern the press was out to destroy a Democrat. Well, the funny part is, Chris, again, as Media Matters pointed out, Chris Wallace went on record on Friday saying he would have asked the same John King question. Cavuto basically defended him. Ann Coulter over the weekend defended John King on the question. The list is sort of on and on. So
it's
a completely legitimate question. It would have been bizarre if he hadn't asked the question based on the ABC interview last week. But there is this very radical faction, Constance part of it, Rush Limbaugh's part of it, that really thinks this campaign is about liberal media conspiracies.
Yep. Mike Huckabee on O'Reilly.
He has to forcefully tell it why he's why it's irrelevant. Say, look, I've disclosed more than I need to. Let him make this challenge. I'll release my tax returns when Barack Obama releases his college transcripts and a copy of his admission records to show whether or not he got any loans as a foreign student.
There
when he releases that, talk to me about my tax returns.
Right. As a foreign student?
Yeah.
He may have gotten a loan as an alien from another planet. We don't know.
What, Eric, what is this talking point about his college, you know, that no one knows his background? Yes, we do. He was president of the Harvard Law Review. Like, where does that come from?
There's a paper trail.
I love the fact that they're so interested in fighting the 2008 campaign, which led to Obama electoral landslide.
Yeah.
You know, they want to talk about Saul Alinsky. They want to talk about William Ayer. They want to talk about his college transcripts. They tried that in 2008, and there was a deafening silence from American voters who couldn't have cared less about any of that. They've spent 3 years, and the strategy they've devised in 3 years is let's do the same all over again.
Yeah. You know, Newt Gingrich mentioned Saul Alinsky three times, I believe, last week. And so I Googled it, Eric, and I'm like, oh, it's a guy that died when Obama was 9? And what?
Gingrich is so keyed into the American voter right now that his talking point is someone no one has ever heard.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. We continue with more Right Wing World after this on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Eric Bowler from Media Matters rejoins us to continue Right Wing World. Neil Cavuto and Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
I love. Yes. Are you prepared? Yeah. Are you prepared for it to get nasty? Because he's so cuddly, Newt Gingrich.
One of Romney's people are saying, now guns are blazing. Now we come out full throttle. We've been holding back. Now going into other states. This is going to go crazy. And it began, maybe the first tip-off was this cake they sent you today, 15 years since what you went through in the House of Speaker. But is it going to get nasty, and are you prepared for that? We might have lost him. I'm sorry, Speaker. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me? No.
Yes, I can, Speaker.
Yeah. I was just saying, you're a serious person. You run a serious show on Fox. You run a...
All right. I'm sorry, Speaker. It sounded like you were criticizing me anyway, though, so I'm glad we don't have it.
He was about to go after Cavuto. God, that's what it is. He just scolds anyone that asks him a question on their lack of journalistic skills. Right, Eric?
Because fundamentally he knows how journalism works. But that was great. The whole that was just great. And Cavuto is, you know, like I said, we're probably going to see there's going to be a little civil war between Newt and the right wing press. And I guarantee you, if there are people on Fox who think he's going to do damage to the Republican chances, they're going to unload on him, and this is going to be really fun
to watch. Ugly. Yeah, yeah.
Never seen anything like that. And this all goes back to, remember, this is all the Fox News primary. Yes, they are sponsoring this Republican primary season. Roger Ailes is the kingmaker. He's in charge of all this. They all have to go through Fox, and look at the mess Fox has created on the Republican side.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, listen to the way, did you even hear the way Cavuto phrased that question? That was even a Fox softy question. He said, What you went through in the House. Like it was something that he was a victim of. Oh, you mean that he got run out of town on a rail and had to pay $300,000 in ethics charges? I mean, it was hilarious, right?
The ethics probe right now, Gingrich is the victim. But I'm telling you, if he still more wins and people start freaking out about what he could do in the fall, we're going to hear a different voice on Fox News about Gingrich's ethics probe. He's not going to be the victim, and it's going to, I'm telling you, there's a very good chance. And again, we've never seen anything like that on Fox. Utterly disciplined, supporting GOP, and so this would be new.
This is awesome. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
We have a failed and dangerous president. We have an angry, radical, left-wing, crony capitalist with a huge chip on his shoulder.
Wait a minute. Hang on.
He is so transparent that only dyed-in-the-wool statists pretend to ignore the facts about Obama. It's a terrible senator. He's a terrible president. Newt had it right last night. The state-controlled media has protected Obama. They continue to protect Obama. It's gone on for too long.
Wow.
What? He's a leftist and a crony capitalist?
How?
And a Nazi and a communist.
Yeah.
And what?
Oh, boy.
Rush had a really tough week. I mean, you should go to the Media Matters just for the clips we had from last week. I mean, totally crazy, unhinged, name-calling. And because he sees what's coming. He sees this is all falling apart. They're not even going to have a viable candidate. It's become a joke on the Republican Party. And Limbaugh is just—he's a very good bellwether because he is freaking.
Yeah,
out.
He's losing it. That's Rush losing it. All right, Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends to close.
Does it worry you at all that we're done with the war in Iraq, like I promised? Seems to be more important to say that in the stump speech than actually being successful in Iraq and leading the right
what?
Way.
What does that mean, be successful in Iraq? We're 8 years? 12 years? What is it? What? Huh?
Is that all they got, Eric? A hugely unpopular war that people are hugely glad we're out of? Really?
George Bush got his regime change.
A long time ago.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. But it was a worse regime than the one we were.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, when Fox is relegated to, attacking Obama for getting us out of Iraq, it's gonna be a long year. And I mean, it's an issue that just has no for the voters or anything like that. It is sort of bottom of the barrel.
Yep.
If only that communist Gerry Ford hadn't gotten us out of Vietnam.
Thank you for cushioning my fall as we hit the bottom of the barrel, Eric. We will see you next week for as it gets even more entertaining. Exactly. Thank you, sir. There he goes, Eric Holder, Community Matters. Here it is. Who is Saul Alinsky? Because that's what I was wondering. Is my who? What?
Who?
Huh?
He was a community organizer.
What? He said it on Sunday. He said Saul Alinsky, radicalism is at the heart of Obama. The night before, he said the centerpiece of this campaign, I believe, is American exceptionalism versus the radicalism of Saul Alinsky. Earlier in the week, he declared Obama's really a classic sort of Saul Alinsky radical, whose basic ideas are the opposite of what we need to create jobs. Here are the fun facts. Born in Chicago in 1909, Alinsky organized communities in his birth city and California, helping minorities in poor neighborhoods. What? What a bastard. Exert political force by collectively demanding better working conditions and getting them to polling stations.
What a bastard!
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton wrote her undergraduate college thesis on Alinsky, a fact critics choose to paint her as a radical during her time as First Lady. Obama, who was 10 years old when Alinsky died in 1972, has never publicly said he was influenced by Alinsky's teachings.
Wow, that's it. That's all you got.
That guy is the guy that died when he was 10, and he's never even mentioned.
He tried to get people to vote. That's so communistical.
Alinsky, that's a commie name, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What I really could go for right now, major distractions. Like tequila shots and a weekend with Brad Pitt. And Angelina.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Roz in Atlanta. Hey, Roz.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, I can tell you why Newt won South Carolina, and we'll probably take the South. For one thing, he's a racist, bigoted pig, and he knows good and well in the South, especially if you say the words welfare and food stamp, that people down here think that is synonymous with black people.
Roz, I got an email from Charles the second I saw your phone call. He said, I know nobody wants to say it, but South Carolina results in the bump in the debates for Newt is simply this. Newt is our guy because he's going to put that N-word in his place.
Yep. Oh, and the rebel flag all over the South again. Oh, God help us.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Roz. Kevin in California. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, two questions for you. Do you think Newt Gingrich looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy's wicked brother, Chucky? Do you think Brian Williams could start tonight with a good question about moral turpitude? He had to sign one to have his contract, right? Stephanie, have you ever signed a contract with a moral turpitude clause?
Oh, yes. Of course, I ignore it, but yes.
So now Newt's trying to get the most powerful job on the planet without us checking his moral character.
Yeah, with no morals clause, exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Wait a minute, Stephanie. As owner of this company that you work for,
you
get to write the contracts.
I've never read any of the fine print.
You get to write the contracts. You put a
moral turpitude. Why would I bother putting a morals clause in either of your contracts? Neither of you have any at all.
I only have immoral turpitude.
Yeah.
I think that's a given that's why I hired you. All right, Robbie, going all Sam Kinison on our ass. It's real simple. Newt's hypocrisy really borders on the criminal. How can anyone look at that man running for president and not think he was willing to completely dissemble the office of president while he did the very same things he was willing to burn Clinton at the stake for at the very same time? Think about it. He talked about values and virtues in a press conference and likely within hours or minutes was his mistress. What the... They were asking Chris Christie on Meet the Press about Gingrich's baggage is, and he's like, kidding me? I mean, come on.
Where do I start?
Boom.
Oh,
by the way, here's breaking news to nobody. Gingrich's food stamp president, complete bull. Yeah.
Yep.
Newt, this is a USA Today fact check, for God's sakes. Even the colored paper, the paper with the different colors in it knows this was the color of bolt. Newt Gingrich claims the more people have been put on food stamps by Barack Obama than any president in American history.
Wrong!
More were added under Bush than under Obama, according to the most recent figures.
You're more wrong than Eleanor Cliff! You're wrong!
The statistics just came out. They show under George W. Bush, the number of recipients rose by nearly 14.7 million. Before it comes even close to that. Under Obama, the increase so far has been 14.2 million. To be exact, the program has so far grown by roughly 444,000 fewer recipients during Obama's time in office than during George Bush's. The rise started long before Obama took office and accelerated as the nation was plunging into the worst economic recession since the Great Depression caused by George W. Bush. The economic downturn began in December 2007. In the 12 months before Obama was sworn in, 4.4 million were added to the rolls, triple the 1.4 million added in
2007. Which just proves that Obama has a time machine. He went back in time to screw up the Bush administration so you can blame it on him. Mm-hmm.
The USDA's undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services told the Wall Street Journal, I realize Mr. Gingrich is a historian, but I'm not sure he'd get very high marks on that paper.
He's hysterical. Perhaps. I don't know if he's a historian, but...
Perhaps because he's actually a lobbyist. Lobbyist.
Yeah.
All right. Joe in Long Beach. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Good morning.
Yes.
Hey, look, I, for one, never, ever gave Mitt Romney nor Herman Cain a snowball chance to win the nomination. And the fact of the matter is, as these Republican voters are proving, this isn't really about policy differences. I mean, they can never get away from their hardcore hatred of blacks or other religions. So I never believed either one of those guys was a viable threat, no matter what the poll said. Now, secondly, your caller, Dave, rang up a little bit earlier, was talking about he can look past all of Newt's character flaws because he likes where he stands on policy. Well, the fact is these Republicans have always been losers on policies and have always chosen to use the cultural issues, whether it was gays or abortion, to try to sidetrack people from looking at where they stand on the real issues.
So, you know,
go ahead.
Joe, there was a great op-ed in the L.A. Times this weekend on just that, that, you know, particularly in these economic times and with how people have changed so much on social issues. You're right. It's just another way. They're just completely out of step with what people care about today, you know?
I've always asked my conservative friends to list the 10 most important things that there are in the country to take care of. And abortion and gun rights and gay rights are always down the list.
Thank you,
and
Joe.
And then I ask him, then because you choose to vote those as the most important things to you, it doesn't make any sense to me. But it sounds like Dave is doing like a little flip-flop now that he knows that it looks like Newt's going to be the nominee. He's ready to overlook all of Newt's character flaws because he likes his policy decisions.
Yeah, exactly. This was the piece, a great piece by Doyle McManus in the L.A. Times this weekend. Is Romney a true conservative? And I guess his conclusion is yes, he actually is. More than, you know, he gets credit for, but even that is way out of step with where most Americans are. He writes, for months, Mitt Romney's rivals in the Republican presidential race had hammered him as a closet moderate, especially on third-rail social issues such as abortion and gay marriage, blah, blah, blah. The atmosphere of Republican primary campaign could, only in this environment could he be considered soft on social issues. Take gay marriage. Because Massachusetts began allowing same-sex couples to wed while Romney was governor, he's been portrayed by some as soft on the issue, but the shift came because of a court decision, not legislation, and accounts from the time make it clear Romney did everything in his power to head off the court's action. Failing in that, he decried the ruling, saying it went against 3,000 years of recorded history. For the rest of his time in office, he fought the law, at one point ordering county clerks not to perform weddings for gay couples who lived out of state. When he ran against Ted Kennedy, he did say he supported full equality for gays and lesbians, a pledge that won him support from homosexual Republicans. But even then, he didn't extend that support to gay marriage or to the compromise idea of civil unions. Instead, Romney was merely backing laws to prohibit discrimination against gays in employment and other areas. Anyway, he finishes up by saying gay marriage and abortion have been little more than distractions in a year when, as a Republican pollster said, jobs and the economy completely dominate the concerns of voters. If anything, Romney's views on social issues could pose a problem for him in the general election, especially among independents. Gallup poll, which I didn't know this, Gallup poll found for the first time more than half of Americans believe gay marriage should be recognized as valid by law, including 70% of Democrats, 60% of independents.
Wow.
But only 28% of Republicans. So what he says, this may play well in Republican primaries, but attitudes on gay marriage have changed more than any other single issue in American culture, said the pollster. So ironically, the issue on which Mitt Romney's conservatism is clearest and most consistent now puts him unexpectedly at odds with most of the voters he will face if he wins his party's nomination. Just one more side reason. Why it's a disaster this year for the Republicans. Disaster. Okay.
We also have a potential disaster going on right now with Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky.
What's going on?
He's been detained by the TSA.
Uh-oh.
Oh, really?
This morning in Nashville for refusing a full body pat down after an anomaly in a body scanner.
Really?
Yes. I thought they were trying to identify what the tribble was on his head.
Maybe that was the anomaly.
What's hidden in there?
Yeah. Well, apparently something was hidden in there because they found an anomaly. Yeah, so he's been detained in Nashville.
Wow.
Detained in Nashville for an anomaly.
Trying to forget that because they're like, that's not real hair. That's hiding something. What is that? Okay, and it's the Beavis and Butthead moment of the morning. You cannot make this up. Rick Santorum.com, until someone had the sense to change it, tweeted, Santorum launches cum. C-U-M. Conservatives unite, money bomb.
What? No, no, no,
yes.
No, no,
yes.
No, 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 no.
C-U-M. He launches him. It's conservative. Conservatives unite, money bomb. And
oh,
then they,
wow.
They wisely change.
Who greenlighted
Santorum? I bet Santorum greenlighted.
Hello, Mr. Google. Meet Santorum campaign.
Oh, my
Isn't
God.
That the first thing they should be instructed on when they join the Santorum campaign. All right, Keith in Milwaukee. Hello, Keith.
Hey, guys. You know, for those of you who haven't called in, there's this little fuzzy buzz that you hear before you go on. It's a good thing because I was laughing so hard after the Rick Santorum thing that I had a chance to pull myself together. You know, the thing that's really funny about when Republicans lose, it's like Stoney and Pentothal. they tend to tell the truth. I mean, you know, here you got Romney spilling it all out about how Gingrich is, you know, is lax morals. You know, they won't admit that. You know, when they're ahead, and Gingrich, of course, calling Romney a venture. Actually, Gingrich and Santorum calling Romney a vulture capitalist. So I guess if you want these guys to tell the truth, they have to lose.
Yep. Yeah. No. Exactly. You're exactly right. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Santorum. I'm curious. Little Ricky.
I'm going to go out and talk about how we're going to have a Republican Party, a conservative movement that makes sure that everyone in America has the opportunity to rise.
Yeah, by the way, he wins the gay bashing contest for this morning on the Republican side.
What'd he say?
He is quietly making his first stop in Florida. He'll be dropping in to see the honorary chairman of his state campaign, a Bush-connected Islamophobic pastor who says gays make God want to vomit. Reverend O'Neill Dozier is the guy. Yeah, he's...
I think preachers like that make God want to vomit.
Oddly, he remarked at a prayer breakfast a while back that the Lord Jesus had told him that Charlie Crist will be the next governor of the state of California, of Florida.
The lovely and tastefully appointed Charlie Crist?
The Reverend Dozier, not that bright. God might have given him better gaydar.
I think you've been punked by the Lord Jesus.
Wait a minute, what did we call it? The overly tan... Bachelor,
yes,
governor of Florida.
Formerly bachelor. Yes.
Extremely neat.
Yes, the Reverend reserves his greatest fervor for that paramount of sins, homosexuality, which he declared was something so nasty and disgusting it makes God want to vomit. God, I just think I'm going to vomit.
God sure created a lot of them for, you know.
Yeah.
God's a bulimic, I guess. God,
God vomits at every single
thin.
One of them.
Okay. 46 minutes, I say.
No.
Oh, Stephanie Louise. Yeah. I'll say it to myself.
Never mind. Yeah, don't.
The eating disorder humor just doesn't.
No. I apologize. The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize.
Thank you.
We have no information that God is a bulimic. I apologize.
It all makes me puke. People like you.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in your pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the
full strength.
And he's David Lee Roth is the only non Van Halen in Van Halen now. Because Wolfgang is playing it.
Wolfgang.
51 minutes after the hour. I don't watch anything but politics. I'm a big geek, and there's a debate tonight. Yay! Happy clapping time, Republican debate on NBC tonight.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't see Jim Carrey's daughter?
No, on American Idol.
On American
I was just watching some of it on...
If he were a guest judge, he might have to say, all right, thanks for coming, loser. Bye-bye.
All right.
No, that's not it.
Alrighty then.
Bye-bye.
But it was really bad planning because the aircraft carrier is parked right by the airport and boats are going by with their foghorns and jets flying
over. In San
Diego?
Yeah.
Interrupting every single audition.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well played.
You know what we will not hear in the debate tonight? The name George W. Bush. Disappearing Republican president in Washington Monthly saying he should not be named. The most taboo topic at the Republican presidential debates. One thing you'll be hard-pressed to find mentioned. Did you notice that? They just pretend like he didn't exist.
Yeah.
Reagan's
they went straight
president.
From Clinton to Obama.
Yes. Washington Monthly making a good point. From journalist's perspective, there's no reason to play along with the GOP's willingness to erase Bush from the larger discussion. Indeed, there are some pretty straightforward questions the Republican field should be forced to answer. Do you believe the Bush presidency was a success? How would your agenda differ from Bush if you're elected? Because all of their
He's been
policies
shoved down the memory hole.
Are like him, only worse.
Yes.
Only more right-wing, you know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's been disappeared into the political
cornfield. He's in the oubliette.
Okay. Ben in Arkansas. Hello, Ben. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I was calling up. I don't listen to the left too much, but I have been listening to it today. And
Stumbled across the show.
Heard you speaking about the food stamps program.
Yes.
How Bush put on more than Obama was talking about, I believe.
Yes. USA Today fact-checked what Newt Gingrich said and found it to be completely a load of...
A load of crap.
That was what Newt Gingrich said?
Yes, the Newt Gingrich saying that Obama is the food stamp president and more people are on food stamps is a complete lie. That more people were on when George Bush was president.
I guess I must have just come on the wrong time because I've been looking at this and it looks to me, off of dailyjobsupdate.com, Obama has put more people on food stamps.
What website?
dailyjobsupdate.com.
That's not a well-known news source, sir.
It states at the bottom that the annual totals used above are based on the federal government's fiscal year.
You know, anybody and their uncle can put up a website and say anything they want on it. You kind of have to go to respected news sources to get, you know,
facts. Who's financing this website?
Where are y'all getting your facts from?
USA Today, a respected news source.
Yes, I believe they were also quoting PolitiFact,
yes,
which gave that a pants on fire for being the liest kind of lie you can tell.
Liar.
All right, but thank you for that.
Wow,
okay.
That was kind of easy.
Yeah, but
I just double-crossed your shade.
I read on the internet.
KenyanMuslim.com that Saul Alinsky gave out food stamps to all brown people.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, all right.
And Lou Ayers, as soon as he got finished filling wings in 1928,
interesting facts on homosexuals on God Hates
F-Words.com.
There's some scientific research there that you might want to check out, which is that wow. Those are some facts that you don't want to read about over breakfast, but are also not true.
Zoink D in the chat room says, that caller was the reason Moses broke the tablets the first time.
Oh, boy. All right. Nudie, Franklin.
We proved here in South Carolina that people power with the right ideas beats big money, and with your help, we're going to prove it again in Florida.
You proved that people in white hoods power beats people. What? Okay, Newt Gingrich.
I believe the debate we're going to have with President Obama over the next 8 or 9 months, the outlining of the two Americas.
Yeah.
The America of the Declaration of Independence, the America of Saul Alinsky, the America of paychecks, the America of food stamps, the America of independence, the America of dependence, the America of strength in foreign policy, the America of weakness in foreign policy.
What? Weakness?
Really? Putting a bullet through Osama bin Laden's head, that's weak foreign policy.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
There it is. Once again, reviewing Saul Alinsky would be the community organizer that tried to help poor people and died when Obama was 10.
Get people to vote.
Weather underground.
All right. Here we go again.
The founding fathers of America are the source from which we draw our understanding of America.
Yeah,
he draws his from Saul Alinsky, radical left-wingers, and people who don't like the classical America.
Yeah! Who is he? I've never heard of him.
The guy that died when Obama was 10 that he's never even mentioned or said it was any influence. Okay.
Blarg!
That's how Tad got named. It's a rally. Blarg! Okay.
Did you see the Chris from Yankton sent us some Romney names? It sounds like the Batman sound effects.
Yeah.
Biff, Bok, Zonk, Flurg.
Dang. Yeah. And words you might say if you were punched in the stomach.
Or punched in the throat like Adele.
Sure, exactly. I did not punch Adele in the throat. Just because I'm up against her for Best New Tour, I have no idea what happened to her vocal cords. Okay, Newt Gingrich.
The American people feel that they have elites who have been trying for a half century to force us to quit being American and become some kind of other system.
What?
And the reaction, people completely misunderstand what's going on. It's not that I am a good debater. It is that I articulate the deepest felt values of the American people.
And hatreds of racists everywhere.
Mm-hmm. By the way, unless Adele's head is found in the Hollywood Hills near my house, then there might be reason to suspect me, but I don't...
It's a good thing we had rain this weekend because it washed all the severed heads out of the hill.
Yes. Hey, we have severed head humor here in Hollywood. It's our big thing. Oh, my God. We heard all kinds of gossip about the severed head this weekend.
And with a name like Hervé Medellin, I don't think he's Armenian.
No.
No, no, that's not not Armenian.
Yeah.
Argentinian Armenian. Some of the same letters are in there.
They found a severed head near where I hike in Hollywood Hills. That's not important now. Oh, and also the hands and feet. But that's... Yeah. Dogs found it.
The rest of them's in the wood chipper with the accomplice.
I'm surprised I'm too traumatized to ever hike again. Literally, the dog had it in his mouth. The dog walker's like, "What you got there?
Well, good boy.
Oh, that will ruin your whole hike. 58 minutes after the hour, right back.
That and dog poop.
Yeah, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, another tweet proving that Mitt Romney is the most awkward man in the world.
Uh-oh, what happened now?
Michael Crowley from Time Magazine tweets, Romney on Fox News, I will show passion and from time to time perhaps a little energy as I think is appropriate.
Oh, wow.
He does not get it. Oh, poor Mittens.
It reminds me where there was some meeting with the fire department talking about emergency preparedness, and the first thing he says, I should tell you, I will be utilizing humor during this demonstration. Okay, well, that was the humor right there.
Okay.
Inadvertent humor.
Oh, we've been warned. Stephen writes...
actually stiffer than Romney. It's hard to do.
Stephen writes of South Carolina, lost our mittens. Does this mean we shall have no pie? No, Al Sharpton will always bring a Blueberry pie. In fact, I love this headline. Gingrich agrees to meet with Reverend Sharpton after being confronted by black men in South Carolina. He's going to hear about the pie. You got your face! Call it the Blueberry pie! Just admit it! An African-American man confronted Newt Gingrich outside a campaign stop on race issues, pressing the Republican candidate to make on his idea to make poor kids work as janitors. Gingrich engaged with the man who had said he'd spoken with Reverend Al Sharpton, asking Gingrich to meet with him along with NAACP President Ben Jealous and Roland Martin and Juan Williams. Sure, glad to do it, Gingrich replied. I'd be willing to do it. I know Al.
Oh, there you go again. It's Reverend Al. You got your face in the pie. You got more blueberry, you got rhubarb and all kinds of pie on your face.
Rhubarb.
That'll be an awkward meeting. Yeah. All right, kids, I'm nearly giddy. Giddy as a schoolgirl. We have a Republican debate tonight. We have Romney's tax rules.
Who's left? Is Newt going to just debate
four.
Himself?
What? Okay. I don't know that Santorum's going to make it to next week.
Really?
That's just a feeling I get.
He's not going to float to the top?
No?
No. He's sinking to the bottom.
All right.
He won't be number two anymore.
Romney releases his tax returns tomorrow, of course, the State of the Union, and then it's on to Florida.
Welcome back, my friends, to the state that wears depends, where the campaign never ends. Come inside, come inside. Come and join the dance. Looks like Mitt Romney's last chance. If Newt keeps on his pants, he can slide, he can slide.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Why, if only we had somebody on the line that knows a little something about a little something about a little something about campaigns. Why, looky, it's David Bender. Hello, David Bender.
Name that band, Stephanie Miller.
Which band?
The one.
Welcome back, my friends.
Just based that parody on. No cheating, Jim and Chris.
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Oh.
What? All right.
Chris Toller.
No, I didn't.
Shush.
I'm the producer. I produce.
That's what you get for beating my girlfriend at Words with Friends, you bastard.
I would have at least
used
that.
Ralph, Waldo, Emerson, yes. Lake, and Palmer. Yes.
All right, fine.
Help. I need somebody. Help.
David Bender, what the South Carolina?
Let's be clear. We talked over the weekend. We were both giddy as schoolgirls.
Well, I know, but you're such a tease. We're like really good friends, Chris, and he's like, right. Well, I'm not going to say too much till Monday. I'm like, come on! It's going to happen, Bender!
I can't tell you really what's going to happen. I will say, now, this is for all the people who like to put blueberry
pie in my face about the fact that I said Rick Perry would be a force.
Yes.
He had everything going for him except himself.
Yes. He was an impediment.
He had all the money. He had all the support. He was the only one, actually, who could have stayed in the race all the way toe-to-toe with Mitt to the end. Because
right.
this is really, a long race is about money.
Right.
The only reason that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton could fight all the way to June is both had enough money.
Right.
And our friend CUM Santorum and his money bomb.
Yes.
There isn't enough. There isn't enough. I won't say what there isn't enough of, but there isn't enough for
right.
Rick Santorum to stay in. I don't think he'll get out before Florida, but right after it's done. It's a winner-take-all state. So let's do the math.
Oh,
we?
So whoever wins gets all the delegates, none of the splitting it up business.
None of the splitting it up. There are about a dozen states that it used to be most of the states were winner-take-all in Republican politics. Now it's about a dozen. But let's do the math. What happened when Florida moved its primary up? Remember there's a big battle about when Florida will hold its primary, and they moved it up to January 31st against the Republican National Committee's wishes.
Right.
So that meant that they lost half their delegates. So instead of 100 delegates, and by the way, it takes, depending on which number you believe, it takes somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 to win the nomination. I've seen three figures in the last week, so I'm not even sure the Republicans, it's sort of like Iowa. They don't know how many votes they need to win their nomination.
Yeah, it's fuzzy. It's fuzzy math, as George Bush would say.
But only 50 of them are going to come out of Florida. So even if Newt wins, he will have the 20-some-odd he's got now and 50. And then it is a
And Newt is, I believe, Chris, you said, what, up by 11 today in
Florida. Yeah, according to the latest Rasmussen. So take that with a grain of salt.
The Rasmussen poll is never particularly reliable, but Newt's going to win Florida.
Yeah.
That is, and actually, 2 days out, when it was touch and go about, his lead in South Carolina, I said 10 to 12 points. Came in at 12.4. And all I can tell you is this is a sort of a false momentum. It's that same bubble we've been seeing. It's going to burst because the sheer volume of votes that he's going to need to get come from a lot of these other winner-take-all states. You go down the road, you see what happens not only Super Tuesday, he'll win Georgia, but you go down to California and New York, both winner-take-all. Pennsylvania, winner-take-all. Those are states that play to Mitt Romney. Those are not Newt Gingrich states. Gingrich might have a shot at Pennsylvania. He actually claimed to come from there, but the bottom line is Mitt can stay in it all the way, and unless he implodes, unless he keeps talking about how passionate he can be at any given moment, he will win this nomination simply because he will be the last man standing.
Wow. Wow. What a spectacular flame out of a year for Republicans. I mean, did you happen to watch a lot of the Republicans just losing it, frankly, on Meet the Press? Like, this is a disaster. If it's Newt Gingrich, he loses 45 states. I mean,
yeah. Mike Murphy
right.
and company, they're right. And this is where the real pressure will come. Now, Jeb Bush, who could have been a huge factor in this, has said he will not endorse before the Florida primary.
Yeah, he wants to stay out of this mess, doesn't he?
He does for a reason, because the only other thing that could happen, and this is really what is being talked about, if it turns out that Newt is completely unelectable, but Mitt has inspired nothing more than that 25% ceiling, no passion, they're looking at a rerun. They're looking at exactly what happened. They're looking at losing the House is what they're looking at. And there will be another round of pressure to get somebody else in.
Yeah.
And that's a Jeb Bush. That's a Chris Christie who left the door open.
What, in South Carolina, what was this, a pro-adultery vote, a pro-racist vote, or an anti-Mormon vote? What? How do you...
All of the above.
Yes.
And it was also the angry vote. See, John Meacham had a great piece. They keep comparing themselves to Reagan. Reagan and Mitt's most devastating line is, well, I'd rather Reagan by a reason. Newt, you were only mentioned once and not flattering. The real truth.
Yeah, we love that part. We think Reagan said, get that doughy little pant load away from me. That's what we think.
Right.
He said he was mentioned once, he had an idea, and it wasn't very good. Yeah.
do know is that the real model for Newt Gingrich, in terms of reinvention, someone who is politically dead and comes back like a zombie from the dead, is Richard Nixon. That's who Newt Gingrich is. This is a guy who, what was it, exactly 15 years ago, was reprimanded.
Right. Nasty, corrupt,
House.
Right. Yes.
That was his anniversary. Happy anniversary, Newt. And yet, he still keeps ticking like a bomb. But that's what Richard Nixon did.
Right.
And he plays the same thing. Richard Nixon created the phrase, the silent majority.
Mm-hmm.
What you're hearing from Newt Gingrich and that message about elites, that's really what the message was, and that's what he's staying. And he's now, for the first time ever, I think, for more than 48 hours, he stayed on message. It's against the elites. And that's the Tea Party message. That, frankly, is the Occupy message. And it is resonating with angry people. That's all he is. And that's what
so he
is,
has
and
the,
that's what Newt does.
The angry little attack muffin vote, and it pretty much nailed down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're muffins and blueberries and pie.
Croissant.
And croissant. Yeah, they whipped out the French even. So we have a debate tonight, right? I think you told me another one this week.
Another one on Thursday. I think it's another CNN debate. I can't wait to see John King come back.
Yeah.
Yes. Speaker Gingrich, how might we help you get elected? That's the toughest question I have for you tonight.
Is there anything else you'd like me to say? Just tee it up.
They
have two more debates. Then I think, and remember, again, the calendar drives this process, Stephanie. It's if you look at how it worked with Obama and Hillary, remember there was a long gap. There was a month where there were no votes. I think, what was it, between Texas and then Pennsylvania?
Right.
And there's the same period that's going to happen. The next thing that's going to happen a week from Florida is the Nevada caucuses. 28 votes come out of Nevada. Mitt Romney got 50% of the vote there 4 years ago. There is a strong Mormon population. Ron Paul's working it. But Newt doesn't have the organization. That's what he doesn't have. He doesn't have people on the ground. Remember, the guy started off firing his entire campaign staff. So people on the ground, which is what it takes to win caucuses, which
actually,
is what Obama did.
I think there's some rumor that Calista unhinged her jaw and ate them, but I don't think we found any heads anywhere, so
not
really certain.
Not
what
yet.
Happened to his original
staff. We're still checking the Hollywood Hills.
All right. Bender, we will be checking in with you a lot because we've got it's a big week.
We're talking during this debate tonight. This is and every time Newt says elite, drink.
You and I will anyway, but all right.
Love you guys.
Love you too, honey. There goes the Bender. He will return, as the Bender always does. 18 minutes
so
after.
So I hear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 18 minutes after the hour. More crunchy audio goodness from South Carolina as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Oh my goodness, looky here, Jim. I found Newt Gingrich's next wife.
Really?
My friend Rob tweeted me this weekend the headline, Woman with Double Vagina Rejects $1 million Offer to Star in Local Porn Production.
Wow. What, local porn production?
He might not have to leave, but at least, you know, he's got
what's
options.
What's a local porn production?
I don't, here in L.A.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. not national, just
why
local.
Why would we have variety right in the same woman is all I'm saying.
Dude.
Pretend you're doing somebody different every night.
Dude.
Every other minute.
I just.
All right. I'm sleepy. It's Monday. Okay.
Divorce one of them and then
it is
marry
like,
the other one. And then
it is like double
again.
Kitty.
Finally, an excuse for me to do my patented double kitty impression.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Lori in Ohio. Yikes, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie. Love your show.
Thank you. Love you. Go ahead.
Hey.
You can laugh at Reverend Al and his blueberry pie, but I would have given anything had he been the moderator of that last.
Oh, that would have been great.
Oh, you know what? Newt wouldn't have even tried it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thank you. All right. Study proves it, Chris. Told you many, many times. Facebook, evil.
Yeah.
New study says Facebook makes us feel bad about our lives.
Oh.
One quick way to feel better about your life, delete your Facebook account. A new study suggests the more you use Facebook, the more likely you are to believe that your friends are happier and leading better lives than you are. The more hours people spent on Facebook, the stronger was their agreement that others were happier. Or other people are better at faking it than you.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Or that pretty much everyone my age has kids.
Well,
so that we're kind of freaks. That we're kind of an island of misfit toys in this room. Okay. Yeah, and it makes you do doofy things like this. Man posts a nail and brain x-ray to Facebook from the ambulance.
Yeah.
But I've done everybody.
I shot myself in the head with a nail gun.
Shot myself with a nail gun. Looky what I did.
He put the nail in his brain, like...
Sure.
But then he didn't discover it for a day and a half?
Oh, no, wow. The doctors showed him an x-ray, so then he was rushed by ambulance to another hospital for surgery.
Right.
From the ambulance.
He
was like, look,
I got a nail in my head.
So he was living with it for a day and a half before he knew there was a nail in his head. So it wasn't like he was dying or anything.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Wow, you know, only on Fox News. Fox News A-Team psychiatrist?
Dr. Heath Ablow.
Sure.
Or Ablow.
Yeah, he sure does. Being married three times could make Gingrich a better president.
Ah.
What?
Three times
better. He believes personal choices would not negatively impact his performance as president. In fact, he argues Gingrich's ability to attract so many women is a sign that the rest of the country will fall for him, too.
Oh, so he's a chick magnet, so he'd make a better president.
What? Can I just say, as a chick, I do not get that in the first place.
Bill Clinton was the best president ever. Or possibly Jack Kennedy.
He said you can take any moral position you like about men and women who cheat while married, but there's simply no correlation whatsoever from a psychological perspective between whether they can remain true to their wedding vows and whether they can remain true to the oath of office. Yes, but I don't think we've ever had someone that has reached the level of dirtbaggery, personally, that Newt Gingrich has.
Yeah.
Yes.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
He says, when three women want to sign off for a life with a man who is now running for president, I worry more about whether we'll be clamoring for a third Gingrich term, not whether we'll want to let him go after one.
What?
Oh, I see. Once we experience the magic, apparently, that all of these women have experienced about Newt Gingrich.
Who the hell gave him a psychology degree?
Wow.
What is wrong with him?
Psychobabble much?
Remind me not to go to that university.
Okay.
Good God.
Nudie, frankly.
Governor Romney, with whom I disagree on many issues, is nonetheless a good example of America. He's hardworking. He has been very successful.
Oh, jeez.
And here is Chris Christie, who I think was Bobby on The Sopranos. Yeah, he was like, are you kidding me? No Gingrich?
We all know the record. I mean, he was run out of the speakership by his own party. He was fined $300,000 for ethics violations. This is a guy who's had a very difficult political career at times and has been an embarrassment to the party. So the fact of the matter is, I don't need to regale the country with that entire list again, except to say this. I'm not saying he will do it again in the future, but sometimes past is prologue.
Mm.
Interesting.
Mm. Hmm. Bada-bing. Newt Gingrich's tax plan would give Newt Gingrich a $540,000 tax break. How about that?
Wow.
His tax returns, he had a gross income of $3.1 million. That is gross.
Yeah.
With an effective tax rate of almost 32%, that's more than twice the rate that Romney said he pays, unless, of course, Gingrich gets his way, seeking to overhaul the U.S. tax code. He announced his plan, a parallel tax system with what he calls a flat 15% tax. As the Tax Policy Center notes, that plan would mean millionaires would actually pay much lower tax rates than those below them on the income scale.
Yep.
Millionaires like Gingrich.
Hmm.
On his own tax plan, it would slash his tax rate from 31.6 to 14.6. Neat. And it amounts to a $536,000 tax cut that he would give himself.
Himself.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm. A little more spare change for Tiffany's. He gives and he gives. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
In this business, the price of success is very high, especially for a woman. I don't suppose I'm the only one who's had to the way to the top.
Or the middle, as the case may be. 34 well, minutes after the hour.
Yeah, top is a bit of a strong word.
Hardly even a point to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Maria in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Maria.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, you know what? Don't count Mitt Romney out yet, because I have a suspicion he's going to pull a very, very big rabbit out of his butt in the name of Chris Christie.
Yeah. Well,
he's already hinting, because Christie's defending him on going against Newt. That is his bulldog right
there. You would need a lot of lube to get that out.
Out of your butt, yeah.
Yeah, that's something. Thanks for the visual.
Yeah. Thank you. Maria, I think you're right, though, if you saw him on Meet the Press. Well, it's hard for him to do a subtle dance, as you know. That's
Exactly.
But he was saying, if you know, he keeps saying no, but if... Uh-huh. Romney asked him, he would listen. He keeps saying, yeah.
Here's the other thing about that, too. If Christie comes on board, these people who are willing to go all over the cliff, they're gonna allow Christie to put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. It's sad and ridiculous, but I have a suspicion that's what it's gonna be.
Yep, I agree, Maria. Thanks. The other thing he said yesterday, again, Jim, was that whole, you know, I don't think anyone want me standing behind them. I'm like, well, you can't stand in front of them because you'd block the sun. But I'm just saying.
See what you did there?
That's what I did there. Okay.
What are you saying? He's a big guy.
You know, Mitt Romney is such a prankster and a scamp and a hoot. Romney sends a cake to Gingrich headquarters to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the ethics scandal. Oh, it's getting nasty and juvenile now.
Was that a callback to the Iran-Contra thing? Sending the cake in the shape of a key with a Bible, that weird thing?
Whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was the 15th anniversary of the House giving Newt Gingrich the dubious distinction of being the only speaker in history to be reprimanded by his colleagues, ordered to pay $300,000 in fine for his ethics violations in the Romney camp. Apparently sent out a press release marking the occasion. Happy 15th anniversary, Mr. Speaker. Listed a series of articles from the time explaining what Gingrich had done.
I believe the phrase is, oh, snap.
There was some high-fiving, my friends, in the Romney headquarters. All right, here is Mittens.
In the coming weeks and months, I'll keep fighting for every single vote. I will compete in every single state.
Woof. Woof,
woof. Woof, woof.
Yeah.
I may even drink some coffee. Look out. Wow. I'm a wild man.
Mittens again.
When my opponents attack success and free enterprise, they're not only attacking me, they're attacking every person who dreams of a better future. He's attacking you.
No.
I will support you. I will help you have a better future. I'll make sure that America is a place of opportunity for all.
I'll make sure everyone's rich, except the people whose jobs I exported to China.
I start talking faster because I'm getting really excited because I appear to be getting some sort of response.
In recent weeks, the choice within our party has also come into stark focus. President Obama has no experience running a business and no experience running a state. Our party can't be led to victory by someone who also has never run a business and never run a state.
You've run businesses into the ground.
Into the ground.
Yeah.
Jobs overseas.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi. You guys, I was at the Pro Walker rally and... I was one of the more vocal against it, you know, on the outskirts blowing my vuvuzela till my face was bloody. And I was lucky. My friend and I were really lucky to get out of there alive. They sent a mob after us after about 2 hours of blowing. And some of the people on our side didn't like it either. But you know what? If this is what they're going to run on, the message of listening to that bloated Tommy Thompson spit venom all over us, I mean, it was unbelievable. The anger and the venom and the hatred, these guys are just crazy.
Yeah.
We're going to win in Wisconsin.
Mike, I tell you what, I think so, too. And that's what like Eric Bullitt was saying earlier, you can hear, like, Rush Limbaugh's a bellwether. They're starting to lose it. They're really starting to get just desperate. They can see this disaster unfolding, I think, between, you know, stuff in Wisconsin and the Republican race. Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich lost it on Fox News, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
He's taking his attack on the liberal media elite. Wait. To Fox News? Yeah, it's like, and you could tell he had planned this. This is his shtick now.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing on Fox even resembles a tough question to a Republican.
But you know what? He got traction of it with the debate, so why not go for it everywhere he can?
Yeah, this was even a confusing story. They were asking about Mitt Romney's taxes. You could tell, like, he sort of planned it, but yeah.
But they didn't go there. Right. They didn't set it up for him, so he just went there anyway.
It was a question over whether Mitt Romney should release his taxes, and then he took a sharp turn, attacked the host, offended that he had been asked to take seriously Romney's demand, because Romney said in return he wanted his ethics report release. I don't know. He said, even in the news media, you ought to have some sense of balance. As a reporter, don't you have some sense of balance? Isn't fair and balance part of Fox News? and even one of the other hosts jumped in, explaining he was giving Gingrich a chance to respond, not legitimizing the claims. Right. But he's like, he's just in full-time angry little attack muffin mode.
Yeah.
And that feeds you meat Newt's teeth.
Well, I think,
and they can't find the switch.
Yeah, I think he's overplaying his hand with this whole thing. I think it's going to backfire on him once he gets into more reasonable states.
Yeah.
I know. Herman Cain got over 6,000 votes in South Carolina. The Colbert bump.
No bliss.
Well, Stephen Colbert urged his supporters to vote for him because he was on the ballot. Colbert could not get on the ballot. Cain actually received more votes than Rick Perry, John Huntsman, and Michelle Bachmann combined.
Wow.
He rocked him like Herman Cain.
Yes.
Rock him like a Herman Cain.
As first heard from Mike and Raleigh here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
They took it and ran with it.
999,000 votes.
All right. Boner already knows the State of the Union is going to be pathetic before it happens tomorrow night.
Because
he's Back to the Future, man.
Okay.
Boner says it sounds to him like the same old policies of spending, taxes, and regulations that have hurt the economy. He said, I think it's pathetic. It's all right.
Something,
and the president said he hasn't
finished.
No, he has not finished writing it.
Is pathetic.
The president yesterday.
Too often over the last few months, we've seen Congress drag its feet and refuse to take steps we know will help strengthen our economy. That's why this is the latest in a series of actions I've taken on my own to help our economy keep growing, creating jobs, and restoring security for middle-class families.
Blah, 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 socialism, Kenya, commie.
Blah, 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 Saul Alinsky. Okay. Oh, hey, it's more good news for America, bad news for Republicans. Happy, clappy news expected in State of the Union. 2 years ago, President Obama popped a surprise into his State of the Union address. His administration would double American exports in 5 years, helping to create 2 million jobs.
And?
The bold promise sent the eyebrows of economists and policy experts upward. How will he perform this miracle? One of them asked at the time. It really is a mystery. 2 years later, the administration on track to meet its ambitious goal. Growing exports has been one of the central drivers of the recovery, accounting for about half the nation's economic growth since the recession ended. Economists say the administration deserves credit for some of the gains. It has pressured China to increase the value of its currency, open its markets to American businesses. It has worked closely with American companies looking to sell goods and services throughout the world. Ron Kirk, the U.S. Trade Representative, said the export initiative is real and the success has actually been pretty remarkable. Well, looky there.
No. But he's never run a business into the ground, so. It's pathetic. No, what's pathetic is talking about a State of the Union address which does not yet exist.
Yes, exactly. Oh, how about this story? Scott Brown, the centerfold, the pink patent leather shorts. He's got his finger on the pulse of the real problems in America.
The centerfold,
yeah. Mm-hmm. What about all the rich school teachers? Senator Scott Brown made the case to customers at a diner in Lowell, Massachusetts, that letting the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy expire would create a burden for well-off teachers, firefighters, and police officers.
Teachers who were buying pencils for their students?
From the Lowell Sun. No, it's all the teachers and cops that make over $250,000
a
year.
Okay.
And they are... Where?
From the Lowell Sun, Brown also took on President Barack Obama for proposing tax hikes on families who earn more than $250,000 a year, saying that would hurt teachers, firefighters, policemen, folks who work two jobs.
What?
Asked which public servants earn that much money, Brown said it's common for police officers to earn over $100,000 a year.
Hold on. I come from a firefighter family.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
No, that's
not true in the least.
He said you throw in a teacher who's working, plus a summer job, it adds up pretty quickly.
Hey,
there's quite a few of them.
Pretty soon you're a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It
happens all the time.
Yeah. 90% of the Boston Patrol officers make a base salary below $75,000. 90% of the firefighters in Boston make under $68,000.
Like I said, $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're firemen and policemen and teachers at the same time, you see, you combine all
that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just getting more and more desperate. Sometimes I have to sort of decipher the Washington Times.
Yeah.
Obama
first
is turning.
Of all, it's written in Korean, but.
Well. Obama is turning America into a constitution-free third world country.
What?
Robert Knight wrote that President Obama's administration has manfully undertaken the task of turning America into a constitution-free third world country in need of international adult guidance.
Based on.
He
what?
Accused the president of treacherous action against the United States and of dismantling our
For
military
example...
before our very eyes.
So we should
well,
stay in Iraq forever.
It's actually bigger than under George W. Bush. Yeah. So you'd have to go back and, you know, impeach him for apparently for treasonous dismantling of the military before you could.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Wow, Chris, you and I were talking about this earlier. Yeah. This was the sad moment of the weekend. Representative Gabrielle Giffords announced she intends to resign from Congress this week to concentrate on recovering.
I was a blubbery mess by the end of the video.
I don't know if you watched it.
I have more work to do on my recovery. So to do what is best for Arizona, I will step down this week. I'm getting better. Every day, my spirit is high. I will return, and we will work together for Arizona and this great country. Thank you very much.
Oh my God. I can't say you didn't warn me. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I know. But her last thing that she's going to do is attend the State of the Union address.
Tomorrow night.
Yep,
oh.
That's going to be her last official thing.
Okay.
And how many Republicans will boo her when she stands up to be recognized?
Well, yes, what fresh horrors await us at this State of the Union, I wonder.
Yeah.
All right. 45 minutes.
Good night!
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
Check it out. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's time for another edition, Chris, of our favorite new show. Oh, no, kitty.
Don't
eat
that.
It's a cat doing something funny.
Uh-oh.
Urinating cat leads to smoke. Fire department response. I can look forward to this in my future.
Yeah.
One Western Pennsylvania fire department learned there's not necessarily fire where there's smoke. Firefighters were called when an electrical outlet on the floor was smoking, only to find out it happened because the family's cat urinated into the outlet.
No.
Oh, kitty, no!
Oh, kitty.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned that I'm allergic to cats, and I have two of them now, and that's love.
Boots has taken to peeing on the bath mat.
Oh, isn't that cute? Cats
are
great.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We have 5 cats.
I know.
Wow,
Jim, you take the prize.
Don't
you
need a zoo license to have that many animals?
He's going to release them and go crazy one of these days.
They all go into the boxes.
All right.
Which is fine.
How many boxes do you have when you have 5 cats?
3.
Okay.
We probably will end up having more.
Yeah.
It's a slippery cat slope.
Our vet recommended 1.5 for every cat you have.
1.5
what? Who has half a cat box?
I don't know.
Well, you know.
She's Korean, barely speaks English.
That's a new thing for me. I'm being a dog owner. That's a new thing for me, the whole going in the house.
Yeah.
If you happen to walk by there at the wrong moment, that is woo!
Yeah, sometimes they lay some stinky ones, depending on what they eat. Yeah.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one time I was snuggling little man. I'm like, oh, he smells so cute. And Lisa's like, oh, that's the cat litter. I'm like, yeah. Oh, he just kissed it off his head.
Don't kiss their feet.
Yeah.
Stephanie, do you
kiss your dog's feet? When they've been,
General Francisco Franco and Joe Paterno are both still dead. Yeah, that was confusing. Apparently they reported early that he had died, and then he had not, and then he...
I had no idea Franco was an Eskimo.
Shush.
Franciscimo.
Okay, this is another edition of our president, coolest president ever. Al Green says Obama nailed his song.
Wow.
Al Green said he thinks that President Obama's version of Let's Stay Together was terrific, and he nailed it.
Cool.
Huh.
Yeah. Try that, Nudie.
So he could win the presidency and American Idol.
By the way, that would be a comedy performance if Newt Gingrich were to sing Let's Stay Together.
Yeah.
Something that's never...
For the good or bad, lips. Or happy or sad. Mostly bad and sad, basically, frankly.
I'm so in love. Oh, never mind. You're sick. Goodbye. Goodbye. Never mind. Bye-bye. Speaking of breakups, Katy Perry has officially unfollowed Russell Brand on Twitter. That's how we keep track of things in this new world.
Yeah,
social
and
media.
It's really over.
Yeah. Brand has not reciprocated yet.
Yeah.
So that's how you can...
And Newt Gingrich has changed his Facebook status to in an open relationship.
Hi! Look what you did there.
See?
I didn't see that coming.
Whoa!
See what you did there? You made a little social media joke. Heidi Klum is filing for divorce from Seal.
Yeah. Sad.
This is how you knew that was going to happen. They're famous for renewing their vows every year on their anniversary in a lavish ceremony.
Yeah.
Didn't happen this year.
Just saying. It's a warning sign. All right. Oh, dear. And you remember how Kobe Bryant didn't want to, you know, in prenup, Jim, because he's really in love. Yeah, he knew that was never going to... Vanessa walking away with $75 million, which is close to half their total assets.
Yowza.
And three houses.
Three houses.
Yikes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know how that happened. All three of the couple's mansions in the Newport Beach area. She gets the estate the couple was living in, the estate her mom was living in. She gets the new estate that had been under construction and was just completed.
Yikes. They have three mansions in the same city.
A three-point shot. That,
that seems excessive.
Three mansions in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
That does seem a little much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you only have...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could see you having a mansion in three
different places.
Like south of France, for example.
Maui.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you don't deserve to have three houses if you don't get it. You're supposed to have houses in far-flung locations like Mitt Romney.
Like, three houses. You have to walk from between your three houses.
Yeah, three houses near the Nordstrom at that Newport Fashion Center.
Oh, come on.
What? Oh, dear. It's part two of Mark Wahlberg being a douche nozzle.
Oh, yeah.
He's tetchy, isn't he?
He's a little prickly.
Oh,
he's
Marky
known for
Mark.
That
is just a funky bunch of bull.
Do not bring up the fact that he was in Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. He goes off.
It was a funky bunch of BS, wasn't it, what he said? He apologized to victims of 9/11 and their families after he offhandedly bragged that if he were on the terrorist plane, he would have done a better job seizing the plane and would have landed safely.
Oh, come on.
Whatever.
God. When it was pointed out that this was very insulting to the heroes and the victims of 9/11, he lamely apologized by defending his comment. He said, I'm not an actor. I'm a real guy from the streets, and I've been in a lot of situations.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
He's appeared in 29 movies. How are you not an actor?
Yeah.
He lives in a $10 million mansion, and he married a supermodel. But other than that, he's a guy from...
You should shut up now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shut up and act.
All right.
Plus,
isn't he like most actors, like 3 feet tall? I mean, seriously.
Ah, well, that explains it.
He's going to bite an ankle on a terrorist or what?
Yeah.
All right. Jones, you know what? Every time I read one of these stories, Chris, I don't even think I have a writer for Sexy Liberal. I have to start making some demands or I just am not going to be taken seriously.
What is wrong with you?
She insists her dressing rooms are painted pink.
Who's this?
Joan Collins.
Oh. Really?
She's married.
Big enough to have a writer anymore?
Yeah, apparently. 78-year-old actress is married to a 46-year-old. I've got that. Got the younger thing going on.
There you go.
46-year-old Percy Gibson admits she can be a total diva and always has a specific list of demands. She said, I always have my dressing room painted pink and full of Evian. Okay.
I
have to start thinking of...
I'm just amazed she gets
demands.
A writer.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm just amazed she gets a writer. I mean, what...
I want my dressing rooms painted rainbow color, and I want fox wine.
Have a good publicist.
Okay, Indian police briefly detained three of Oprah Winfrey's bodyguards after they scuffled with local TV journalists. It was her first trip to India, where she's been filming her new show, Oprah's Next Chapter. You know why that happened? Because Gail wasn't with her. Gail was busy. Because Gail will cut you. I know Gail.
She'll cut a bitch.
She will shiv a bitch? I mean, seriously.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. She couldn't be nice. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't need bodyguards. It's Gail, you know.
We had her on the show a few times, and she's been very nice every time she's been on. So.
She's
she never cut a bitch.
As far as we know.
apologize. But don't find out the hard way if you're on that CBS morning show. All right. Andy Dick, still a...
Yeah.
Still well-named.
Still aptly named.
Number one suspect in an L.A. battery case. Another day in Hollywood. Okay.
Wow.
At least no severed heads were involved, as far as we know.
As far as we know. Okay. Join us tomorrow for Charlie Pierce and also Representative Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin.
Yes.
We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.